Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
That clip is so, so memorable. I love that movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Now, come on, admit it. Who wouldn't like to be like Ferris? You know what I'm talking about. He basically can do whatever he wants. And like his sister finds out, she's the one who gets in trouble, but not Ferris. His teacher obviously knows his name. Today's episode is focused on reminding us that it is so important to use the names of the kids. It helps us build connections as the kids know that we know who they are. I challenge you after listening today to take a closer look at what you do and make a promise to yourself to use each child's name more often. Thanks for joining me and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, I'm back. This is episode 27, and I am Steve, your host of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And today we've got a teaching tip, learning the names of the kids. So join me a little bit. I got a little different format this time. Instead of an interview, we're going to talk specifically about some better practices. So let's talk a little bit about learning the kids' names. Have you ever had a teacher who didn't know your name, or you wondered if he or she knew who you were? I've had that situation, and I got to tell you something. It has its rewards, which means that probably don't call on you because they have no clue who you are, but that means they don't know who you are, which makes you wonder if when they're grading, when they're working on your work, do they even have a clue as to what makes you tick, what you don't understand, what you do right? Do they know anything about you? You know, everyone likes to be known. I grew up on way too much TV. And you know, one of my favorite TV shows was Cheers. If you're an adult who watched Cheers, you might remember the show and its theme song. You want to go someplace where everybody knows your name. Norm, what if you went through work all day and no one called you by your name? Just think about it for just a minute. What would that be like? Now, I know as adults, we go through this. I've been just as guilty of it as others, where you think you know somebody's name, but you're not quite sure of it. So you kind of work your way through it. And if you're in a situation where somebody's standing right there and you're talking, you're hoping that somebody's going to mention their name. Oh, please, come on, use their name. I can't remember it. Or walking down the hallway as you're looking at them. Come on, brain, work, work, work. I think I know. Oh, it's not happening. Well, that's because you have to practice people's names. And a lot of times in schools, you know, we don't see everybody every day because we see the children. And so we don't really know some of our colleagues' names. So we have to be purposeful about it. We have to find time. We have to talk to them. We have to use their names. And we got to stick it in our head. Because otherwise, we'll just walk through the hallways doing a little head nod. You know what I mean? There we go. Yeah. Or, what's up? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? You get the picture. We got to learn their names if we're going to connect with them. One of my favorite educational heroes is Deborah Meyer. Now, she's been known for correcting and taking on challenging schools, especially schools that have been ignored in big cities. She's changed their environments. She primarily has focused on New York City and Boston and made major improvements and helped kids achieve dreams. And how she did that, though, was by developing relationships, by building their trust, by getting to know kids and their families. And she couldn't have done this without using their names. She's written many different books, her most famous of which is The Power of Their Ideas. But my favorite is In Schools We Trust. She wrote this in 2002. In this work, she makes the argument that the standardized testing focus is wrong-minded and not what our children need. She also notes that what our kids truly, truly need are teachers and adults who care enough to know who the kids are. In her book, she states, "Most children today are disconnected from any community of adults, including, absurdly, the adults they encounter in schools." She continues on, "Many young people literally finish 4 years of high school without knowing or being known by a single adult in the school building." You know, it's funny, our federal government likes to spend money on studies that seem to be those little Captain Obvious moments where you're going, really? Who doesn't know this? You don't have to spend this much money to come to the conclusion that's already been reached time and time again. And in the case of this, they spent 10 years coming to the conclusion that the quality of the teacher is what matters most in the classroom. Duh, could have told you that, as well as many people could have. All you had to do is go back and see all the different studies that have taken place over time where they come to that conclusion that it's the quality of the teacher that matters most in helping kids get it. You know, it's funny because what that's really saying is it's not some vastly expensive program, nor is it a piece of hardware, nor a mandate from on high. It's the quality of the teacher. Now, there are many qualities that separate great teachers from average. I like the way I say that. Great teachers from average teachers. The one I want to focus on today is the quality of knowing. Quality of knowing your children in your classrooms. The great teachers, the better teachers, take time to get to know their students. They learn a little bit about them. They take time to know what they know and don't know. They learn a little bit about what makes them laugh. They have fun in school. These better teachers who get to know the kids, they take time to figure out how to make it fun. What makes the kids go, dude, I get this. I like this. This is kind of fun. I don't mind admitting that I like learning just a little bit. Does that happen in yours? Do you know who your kids are? You know, it's funny. The better teacher not only makes them laugh, but they do different things, and they're at different places, and they use their names at lunch and at recess and at extracurricular activities. They show up. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? Steve, Carolyn. Wow, that was a good catch I saw the other night. You know something? You're doing excellent work. I got a chance to see you interact with those kids. That was pretty cool, the way you were bagging those groceries the other day. Hey, I saw you cleaning out the animal pens over at the stable the other day. You know, whatever it is, but using their names. So instead of just saying it like that, you say, hey, Steve, that was awesome. What you did the other day when you were working with that veterinarian, when I came in there, I didn't realize you worked at Johnny B. Goode's veterinarian service, whatever. If you're there, say hi to them. Steve, I wanted to say, hi. Man, I didn't know you worked here at my veterinarian's office. How long have you been working here?
Well, I don't know, since summertime.
Pretty cool. Oh, you use their name. Boy, what a shocker to them. You know, if you use Steve's name outside the world of the classroom, oh my gosh, you know who I am? That creates connections. You know, instead of avoiding them at lunch, spend time with them. The better teachers enjoy duty. You heard me right. They enjoy doing duty. Now, I know that sounds funny, and you could play with the words just a little bit, but the reason why they enjoy it is not because they like just standing around watching a bathroom, or they like, you know, picking up trash in the hallways, or they, you know, like correcting people out there in the parking lot or whatever. It's because they want to interact with the kids, and by having duty, they're smack dab in the middle of them, so you might as well make the best out of it. And they do, because they can be with the kids. This school year, I actually got a chance to observe several teachers, and I'll never forget going to observe this one teacher at his school, because I had to be there very early in the morning. He told me he had duty. He said, just ask, and they'll point you in the direction where I am. So I arrived at the school. All the kids are outside and lots of the teachers. And I went in the front office, checked in, and said, where can I find? And I'm going to make up a name. Well, where can I find Rodney? And they said, he's out in the courtyard over there in front of the gym. See where all the kids are? Just go over there and you'll find him. Okie dokie. So I walked over that way. And one of the first things I noticed is that all the kids are out in the middle. They're everywhere. And they're throwing stuff. They're sitting around talking. They're dancing. They're jibber-jabbering about all kinds of stuff. And what's missing are the adults. If you look, the adults aren't in the middle. They've formed a perimeter. They're at the outside edges.
and they're talking to each other, not to the kids. And they're there as if there's some stoic wall. None shall pass. And I'm looking for Rodney, and I don't see him in this wall. And I look some more around the kids, and there's a little gaggle of kids over there in that area, and what do you know? There's Rodney. He's smack dab in the middle of them. The kids are coming up to him, and they're talking to him. So I go over to him, and as I come over to him, there's a young lady who's come to him and asked him, "Can you help me with my cell phone?" She had dropped it, and it had kind of not really broken, but it just collapsed into multiple pieces. And he said, sure, and he started helping her. Another young man came over and was asking him some advice about this, that, and the other. And someone else asked him, you know, when we get back into the school, when we're allowed to go in, can you help me with this? I need your help with an assignment. And he's like, yeah, sure. Oh my gosh, the difference between the better teacher and the average teacher, the great teacher and the average teacher. There it is, right there. Rodney's interacting with him. He's in the middle of him. He's not avoiding them. He's right there with him. It's funny that you have to say this. It's funny that I have to have this an interaction with a colleague and say, you know, why are you hanging out over there when you could be here with the kids? Doesn't make sense to me. Because it's so cool when you see it naturally happen, like with Rodney. There he was in the middle of them, talking with them. They're talking with him. But the others were just talking amongst themselves, and those are the kids over there. But I got to tell you something. For a colleague, a peer who's working with the kids, in the middle of them, talking with them, trying to figure out how to help them, that's too cool. Kids need to know that you care before they will care about what your content is all about. Yeah, I don't remember who said that, but, you know, that's... it's been around for a while, and it works with everything. You know, people need to know you care before they care about you, that type of thing. But it really, really is meaningful with kids because we want them to learn math. We want them to pay attention. We want them to do world history. We want them to do English. We want them blah, 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 blah. They don't fall in love with our content. They connect with us as teachers and adults, and then they go, you know what? Maybe this content's not so bad, and I'll give it a chance. Especially the older they get. The best way to start connecting is by learning their names and using their names, not just in class, but in the hall, at recess, at lunch, in the grocery store. Get the picture? How can you connect and make them feel connected if you don't use their names? I know this sounds like a no-brainer, but I've witnessed it. I've been in classes. I've had colleagues. When I was a teacher in a classroom, I have someone next door to me, or I've been in different places where you're going, dude, they have names, man. Do you know them? As an observer, I'm appalled when I watch a class and the teacher pretty much, you know, what should have happened is him just saying, hey, dude, hey, you, yeah, you in my class, you in the back corner, you over there at the right. Even though he didn't do that, even though she managed to talk all about the content, but not once say, Jennifer, Johnny, avoided using the kids' names. How can you do that? Recently, I wrote a blog article. I go to my blog. It's at Teaching Learning Leading K-12 and see teaching tip, getting to know and use the names of the kids. On this post, I'm talking about using craft sticks, you know, popsicle sticks. Now, you don't have to eat all the popsicles. They're relatively inexpensive, and you can see where I talk about this at my article. But the craft sticks, these popsicle sticks, can help you learn the names of the kids. Really? Dude, really? I don't know about you, but I have to practice names. I have to use them over and over so that I remember the child and their name. I have to create associations. I have to do things to help me remember their names. And so the sticks, one of the things that you can do is you can give them to the kids at the very beginning, have them decorated. You could actually already have it decorated. Maybe a color represents the class period or what class it is. And you have them write their name on it. And then you put them into that magic mug, you know, your favorite mug or your favorite cup. And maybe you have one for each class period. And you put those sticks in there. And so when you go to start class, whether it's, you know, maybe this is how you call roll there in the very beginning. You take those sticks and you go, hey, Steve, Johnny, Frederica. And you pull those sticks out. Or during questioning, you simply pull a stick out, read that name. The kid says, over here, here I am. What question you want me to answer? And you say their name again. All right, Johnny, so here's the question. And you put the stick down. Oh my gosh, those sticks can be used for so many different things, but one of their purposes is to help you learn who your kids are. Magic sticks. And they're so cheap. And you don't have to eat a ton of popsicles just to get them. By the way, I get no kickbacks from this, but they're very cheap, and you get them at most five and dime type stores that really aren't five and dime, but you can get them at places like Walmart and so forth. The better teacher starts using their names as soon as possible. And not only in the class, they move out into the hallway and during class change. Hey, Steve, did a good job today at answering those questions. Hey, Frida, I really like the way that you answered that essay commentary in my class. You know, whatever, just start using their name. When you use people's names, it kind of shocks them, especially if they're used to you not using names. You know, so if you're standing out there in the hallway and you're going, hey, Bobby, you know what? I see you got that Spider-Man book bag. I've been following Spider-Man since I was 8 years old. Did you know that? Cool. Juanita, I listened to you guys playing in the band yesterday, and I did not realize that you played trumpet. Cool stuff. Whatever. You just create your conversations with them using their names. What's funny is that if you use their name while they're walking in the hallway and you just come up on them or in the grocery store or someplace like that and you say, hey, Steve, great job on that essay. And whoever they're with is going to go, your teacher knows your name already? What'd you do wrong? And the kid goes, nothing. That's pretty cool. Because that's what the kids are going to go, that's pretty cool. He's already using your name and you didn't do anything wrong. I love it because they automatically go to that idea that you must have done something wrong. Unfortunately, some of our colleagues don't take time to do this. I once observed a teacher. It was mid-September. And when he would call on kids to do math problems, he didn't use their name. He just pointed at them and said, go to the board. He just pointed. Oh my gosh. How do you do that? Talk about no connection. Would you want your child treated this way? Would you want to be treated this way? I don't think so. After class, I asked him. I said, why didn't you use their names? He said, oh, I wasn't thinking. I was a little nervous you were in here today. And I wasn't thinking. I said, all right. And we chit-chatted about the importance of them using names. I came back a couple days later just to see if it really was just a strange day for him. No, the next day, when I come back to the class, he's doing the same thing. You know, he might as well have been going, hey, you, hey, you, hey, you, hey, you. Wow, you got to use their names. So he and I met, and I said to him this time, I said, look, I expect you within a week to be using their names. I'll be back. Start practicing. And I gave him some ideas on how to do it. How about you? Are you using the kids' names? Do you take time to learn them? And I don't just mean the kids who, you know, they sit right there up front and they know the answers, or they always want to be called upon whether they know the answers or not, or they're constantly trying to figure out how to get your attention. That's not what I'm talking about, because usually you learn their names first. I'm talking about the kids who want to not be remembered, the kids who are trying not to have you call on them, the kids who are sitting in the middle rows, you know, because a lot of times the kids in the back row, they get our attention automatically, and the kids in the front, they get our attention automatically. But the kids in the middle, the ones who may have sat there on purpose and who might be quiet enough just to be overlooked. I know a lot about those kids because I was one of them. I did this on purpose. I didn't sit all the way the back. I didn't sit all the way the front. I sat just a couple rows in the class, my right, the teacher's left. I made sure that I looked like I was paying attention, looked straight at them, looked like I was taking notes because I didn't want to be called to the board. And you know what? It worked. I was very, very good at staying anonymous in a classroom. And many of those teachers, I don't think they ever knew who I really was unless I had a piece of paper with my name on it and I handed it to them. Because I was a good kid who was quiet, didn't get in trouble, and I didn't get called upon. Do you have kids like that? Well, if you start using their names and they start figuring out that you know who they are and that they can't avoid your attention, which, by the way, the sticks are very good for that also. Read more on my blog, you'll hear what I'm talking about. They have to know that you know who they are. In order to reach the kids in your class, you got to start from day one, learning their names, learning a little bit about them, have some activity where you find out a little bit more. Watch for them in the halls and in the after-school parking lot and the cafeteria. Watch for them out there, find out what games they play, where they go to do extracurricular activities. If you happen to bump into them in the grocery store, don't avoid them. Even if you're wearing shorts, don't avoid them. Use their names. Say hi. If you don't remember, say, oh, come on. I know you're in my class or in one of my classes or it's at school. We go to, you know, we're the same school. Tell me your name again. Because at least you ask them and you're probably going to remember because
They're going to remember you. You ever been to a water park? You know what I'm talking about? Those where they have all the water slides and you're in your bathing suit and you're coming down the water slide and you got your whole family and there you are in your bathing suit and you look up and you go, "Hey, honey, look down at the end of the slide and the young man who's going to help us out of our float is actually one of my students. Sorry. Hey, Mr. Mileto, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing, Teddy? Good to see you too. But I need you to do me a favor. Forget you ever saw me in a bathing suit." Not a problem. You just forget that you saw me working because all my friends don't know that I work here. Pretty cool. Use their names wherever you run into them. And one trick in learning names is to use the sticks. I'll have more to share soon. So watch my blog and listen to the podcast some more. Thanks for listening today. And coming soon, we've got some more interviews. One of them's focused on using Twitter in the classroom. One of them's focused on some great apps that can help every classroom teacher be more effective. And another one is about using foldable graphic organizers and interactive notebooks. I think you'll really enjoy these shows. I can't thank you enough for listening. I hope you'll share us with your friends, your colleagues, your family members. There's not a weekend that doesn't go by that I don't drive my kids nuts and say, "All right, it's time for you to listen to my podcast." run away. Just kidding. But they really do try and run away from me. But share it. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll share it with your friends and colleagues, like I said. And I hope that you would go by, because we're on Stitcher and we're on iTunes. And at both places, you can leave us a rating. You could leave us comments. And that's how we get discovered in iTunes and in Stitcher. The more comments, the more ratings that we have, the more the podcast becomes visible. And I would greatly appreciate it if you would encourage people to go do that. I thank you so much for listening. I thank you so much for joining us here again at Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And I look forward to us being together once again next week. Have an awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.